okay? And then we'll let you go.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Members of the board, my name is Rafael Renteria. I've been asked to introduce, make some introductory remarks to the report on the anti-racism working group of the Pacifica Now conference. What we're laying before you is a program for the transformation of Pacifica's culture with respect to race and nationality. There are obviously important components of that that have to do with affirmative action policy, that have to do with the internal structures of Pacifica. I want to give you a brief sense of the kind of things we're going to be covering. Training and workshops with respect to affirmative action and diversity, programming on Pacifica's internal affairs, staff composition, resources for staff diversity, committee composition, local programming on external issues and national programming on external issues, and implementation and evaluation of affirmative action policies. Most importantly, however, the committee did some very in-depth work. We met for over 20 hours, as many as 25 to 30 people over the course of this week, to forge the most in-depth approach to the transformation of Pacifica's culture with respect to race and nationality that we could conceivably forge. What we have come up with is a two-pronged, in effect, dialectical approach to the problem. What we understood is that affirmative action policies, regulations, guidelines, and bureaucratic measures are necessary, but in and of themselves are not sufficient for our cause. What we've decided is that there is going to have to be, in effect, a profound national dialogue aimed at creating a culture of inclusion, a culture that is anti-racist, a culture that is a culture of democracy. We understand that in the conditions in which we exist, the psychocultural conditions of the United States today, that the challenges before us in transforming Pacifica into a model for diversity for the rest of the world and for ourselves are profound, and that what that means is that every one of us throughout the network is going to have to take these questions seriously and grapple with them through a process of dialogue, that dialogue must take place not only within the radio stations themselves and within the national structures of Pacifica, but on the airwaves, and that dialogue will be crucial in determining the future of Pacifica. It is my personal opinion that this proposal that we're about to put before you may be the most important proposal that you consider in the course of your tenure as the Interim Pacifica National Board. The implications of what we're speaking to are indeed profound. We have an opportunity to move forward to create a new Pacifica that is truly new, instead of putting new wine in old wineskins. And at that, our presentation. Members of the committee will be presenting very briefly and in a disciplined and precise manner the content of our proposal. We think it's important that everyone here and everyone listening hear the actual wording of this. An immense amount of struggle went into making this a precise and full document. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
The following is the report of the Anti-Racism Working Group of the Pacifica Now Conference. We dedicate this report to three inspirational role models for the new Pacifica we seek to build. Michael Taylor was a grassroots African-American news and public affairs producer who was fired by Los Angeles Pacifica station KPFK in the early 1990s because of his fierce commitment to progressive reporting, and went on to help create an activist, black community, low-power radio station. This work contributed to his execution-style murder in 1995. Samori Marksman was the visionary Afro-Caribbean program director at WBAI who led the racial and political transformation of that station. He died of a heart attack in the heat of the Pacifica struggle in 1999. Finally, June Jordan was the brilliant African-American bisexual writer, social justice activist, founder of Poetry for the People, which provides a voice for young people of color, and supporter of the struggle to reclaim Pacifica. She died last week of breast cancer.
During the Pacifica Now conference from June 18th to the 21st in San Francisco, a racially diverse group of more than 25 listeners, activists, and present and former staff members from four of the five Pacifica stations, all but WPFW in Washington, D.C., met over 18 hours to discuss anti-racist initiatives for the network. We had rich, thoughtful, and frank discussions, the highlight of which was a fascinating fishbowl. in which the people of color shared experiences and proposals with each other while the white folks listened, and then the entire group reflected together. Throughout our dialogues, we heard countless stories of producers of color who were rejected for jobs and programs, disrespected, harassed, fired, and banned. We heard of tokenistic gestures and pigeonholing. We heard of non-existent or underfunded training programs for youth of color. We heard of insensitive white managers and narrow, white-focused programming that excluded or minimized coverage of poor communities of color. The strong message from this sharing was that an ongoing, rigorous dialogue is critical in promoting the necessary changes in Pacifica. Our discussions led to the following conclusions and proposals.
Number one, a central part of Pacifica's mission is to foster education, understanding, and dialogue about the causes of conflict between the races and nationalities. We appreciate the commitment expressed by the Interim National Board and the new national and local managements to work toward a new Pacifica that more fully fulfills its mission. Nevertheless, we see serious problems in the current performance of the stations and network on several fronts: recruitment, training, hiring, promotions, grievance resolution, leadership, and our most important end product, programming, addressing the issues facing people of color and immigrants, particularly working class and poor people. Indeed, even the Interim National Board itself lacks representation of Latinos, Asian Pacific Islanders, Arabs, and indigenous peoples. In all these areas, Pacifica can and must do better.
Number two, our goal must be nothing less than the realization of non-racist and non-classist culture of democratic inclusion within Pacifica. This, in turn, can allow the network to play a cutting-edge role in educating and empowering oppressed communities nationwide in the fight against racial and economic injustice. We must become the change we desire. By transforming our own practice, Pacifica can become a model and beacon for many movements for progressive social and political change in the United States.
Number three, in light of the immense social, cultural, and media pressures against developing such a new practice, we hold that this can only be fully realized through ongoing education and dialogue on these issues, both internally with staff, managements, local and national boards, and listener activists through training and workshops, and externally with listeners at large through on-air programs and town hall meetings throughout the Signal area. There must also be goals, guidelines, and evaluation implementation mechanisms to assure the attainment of this goal.
Number four, equally important as tackling issues facing people of color and immigrants, Pacifica must address the needs of and act equitably towards other oppressed groups in society, especially women, lesbians and gay men, bisexuals, transgendered people, people with disabilities, working class and poor people, young and old people. All these populations are facing interconnected forms of oppression. Our deliberations addressed race and nationality as a critical starting point. Now, we strongly urge listeners, staff, local and national management and boards to similarly study and deliberate with the aid of relevant community groups about the needs of these communities, and similarly develop and implement steps towards solving the problems of these groups. Again, ongoing discussion is a critical means to advance our thinking and our practice on these issues.
Based on these findings, we strongly urge the Interim Pacific National Board, the Local Advisory Board, National Management, Station Management to adopt the following proposals. Decision and adoption of parts of this agenda should begin in all other
decision-making, and administrative bodies of Pacifica. This document will be available for comments on the website, www.newcollegenews.net. Click on Pacifica now. You can also forward any comments directly to Don Foster at don@globalexchange.org or 510-527-1884. I repeat, 510-527-1884 or Bob Litterer at litterbob@usa.net. Background on development of this document. In March 2002, during the interim Pacific National Board meeting in Los Angeles, several African-American and Latino producers who had been fired and banned in the 1990s by LA Pacifica Station, KPFK, made passionate presentations about the devastation effects of their removal on their communities. These statements inspired an ad hoc group of listeners and producers from New York and Los Angeles to meet and brainstorm a tentative plan of action on racism within Pacifica. Later, the diversity community of the local advisory board at Berkeley Station, KPFA, also worked on these issues. All of this work provided the foundation for participation in an affirmative action workshop at the Pacifica Now conference in June 2002 to further develop these ideas into this document.
You're listening to KPFA or KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, KPFK Los Angeles, WBAI in New York.
The Interim Pacifica National Board, acknowledging the long history of racial and nationality inequities in U.S. society at large and within this radio network, commits the foundation to a policy of equity and inclusion of populations historically and currently disenfranchised based on race and nationality. Throughout Pacifica, we must create breakthroughs that will stimulate dialogue, consciousness raising, and action on these issues. In addition, the board will set goals, guidelines, and implementation evaluation mechanisms to achieve racially and nationally inclusive staffing, operations, and programming throughout the network.
Education dialogue. Number one, training and workshops at all five stations and national office, pay and unpaid staff and their unions, management, personnel, and local advisory boards, LAB, should cooperatively plan and implement training and workshops focusing on issues of race and nationality and their intersection with other forms of oppression, such as class, gender, sexuality, and disability. These training and workshops should be offered to pay and unpaid staff, management personnel, volunteers, listeners, activists, LAB and national board members at least once a year and preferably at least every 6 months.
Two, programming on internal Pacifica issues. Each station program director should work with the program council, local producers, and community organizations to air ongoing programs, including panel discussions, town hall meetings, other community forums, and documentaries, aimed at advancing anti-racist awareness, knowledge, and practice within Pacifica. Such programming and forums should relate not only to psychocultural dynamics in society at large, but also specifically to Pacifica's internal dynamics as they're determined by its structures, its bylaws, and policies. In addition, the executive director will designate a national staff person to coordinate local station personnel in collaborating on national and locally produced programming on these issues.
Number three, staff composition. The foundation will establish as a minimum standard or goal a composition of paid and unpaid staff in each department, i.e. public affairs, arts, operations, etc., and management personnel that reflect at least the percentage of people of color and immigrants in the population of each signal area for local stations and for the country for the national office and of the country for the national office. To this end, the foundation commits to the energetic practice of affirmative action and the staff search, recruitment, hiring, and promotion policies, as well as with contracted and subcontracted work, by actively seeking out individuals from those disenfranchised groups who are committed to the Pacifica's mission.
Resources for staff diversity. At the station and national level, resources should be targeted to increase the involvement of members of racially and nationally disenfranchised groups in Pacifica programming and operations. That means the establishment and funding of apprenticeships, training programs, internships, all three of these particularly for youth of color, and subsidies for transportation and child care for trainees and paid and unpaid staff who need them.
Number five, committee composition. All committees at all levels of the foundation, particularly hiring, search, and programming committees, must strive to incorporate from their inception, including at the leadership level, at least 50% people of color and immigrants from varied communities who are committed to Pacifica's mission. If this goal cannot be reached at the outset, the committee must adopt a plan and timetable to meet it.
Number six, local programming on external issues. Local program schedules and national Pacifica programs must include major coverage, including during prime time, of the underreported political issues, empowerment efforts, and artistic expressions of working class and poor people of color, and immigrants from varied racial national groups. Among the offerings should be segments on cross-racial dialogue, both between whites and people of color, and between different groups of people of color and immigrants. To the maximum extent possible, programs on these issues should be produced by individuals and collectives from the disenfranchised communities themselves. These guidelines should be applied to existing as well as new programs. Local schedules should include some bilingual programming in the major languages spoken in the Signal area.
National programming on external issues. Given the particular urgency of racism and xenophobia in this country today, the National Office will facilitate the creation of a racially, nationally diverse collective of producers from various community radio stations to develop ongoing nationally broadcast programs aimed at promoting education and dialogue on, one, issues of race and nationality and their intersection with class and gender, both nationally and internationally, and, two, empowerment efforts, campaigns by communities fighting these and related forms of oppression. This may include national airing of extraordinary local radio programs.
Number eight, the last point, implementation and evaluation. Subject to union agreement, each station's paid and unpaid staff and their unions, management, and local advisory board will jointly choose a paid multicultural coordinator who could already be a paid staff member as soon as feasible. This coordinator will monitor implementation of these and other non-discrimination and inclusion policies, perform necessary staff surveys, and compile statistical data, and finally offer a supplementary channel to any existing mechanism for grievances on the basis of race, nationality, and other areas of discrimination. A similar participatory process should occur to choose such a coordinator for the national office. Each multicultural coordinator will work with diversity or inclusion committees of the staff and local advisory board, along with management, to periodically evaluate the stations or the national offices as applicable overall implementation of these policies, and to make recommendations for specific policies to address systemic problems. The Anti-Racism Working Group will evaluate progress on implementation of these points by the time of the next meeting of the Interim Pacifica National Board in September.
Good morning. My name is Don Foster. I'd just like to sum up a little bit before. I'd like to begin by just thanking everyone who worked on this committee and Pacifica Now. I'd like to thank everyone who worked on this report. Got it. Thank you. And I'd like to... I should introduce myself, Don Foster, but I'd like to just basically sum up a little bit. I'd like to tell you the energy was wonderful to see these people trying to get together to make this report happen on short notice, but we spent some time doing it. I also like to challenge the board, essentially. The idea here is to we'd like to see what your process is. We went through a quite rigorous one ourselves. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how to get something that was just beyond the rules. Our challenge to the board is to create something that, in fact, deals with process, what deals with exposing to us and to yourselves what you're thinking about one another and developing a kind of trust. We understand, I'll be brief here, we understand that you had a retreat, and my feeling at least is that had you retreated with us, or had we been part of the retreat, then we could advance together more fully. We feel as though it's necessary to build the trust and by having a process that is relatively transparent and one that is sensitive to the kinds of issues that we brought up here today. So we're looking forward to seeing what you have to say about all this.
Yeah, okay, and this is the final comment.
Right.
Okay.
The experiences of the Diversity Committee, which was held in the Mission District at the New College over the last week, is significant. And that was a word we argued and debated over quite a lot over that period of time, so I know what I speak. What we discovered during the fishbowl session was that this is where, of course, where we moved people of color into a circle, including a Native American sister, and to the center of the circle. And I remember thinking, the first thing I thought was, is, oh, my God, I'm surrounded by a bunch of white people, and they want to know about the problems I'm having with them.
Right.
The people and what they wanted to do was to deal with the issues that we've eloquently presented to you today. As we began revealing the specific incidents after incidents, non-accusatory, no malice, no emotional anger, people began to understand that there was indeed clearly serious work to be done within our own environment. So we set out on the path to construct these tools and guideposts. Now, we know that the road you must chart is a difficult one. Not only must you deal with assembling the myriad of voices, balance the budgets, expand programming and the like, but you must also rally the cause between war and peace, race, social justice, and discrimination in all forms, because that is Pacifica's calling. Some areas that you might start in, we thought, that you might consider, or in fact we insist that you consider, in doing the job in terms of fully staffing your human resources, which covers areas such as diversity, affirmative action, equal employment, employment problems, union, contracts, development, and training. The department currently, as we understand it, has 1.5 people to do all that work for all 5 stations. Now, I understand that you have the daunting task of prioritizing all these areas you've been hearing about, and how much can be done to start with. We believe that you should start here and you should start now to initialize this process. Otherwise, like a deck of cards, all these issues we have raised will collapse in on you, and you'll have a much larger problem in the foreseeable future. Because we are all Pacifica. Let us celebrate the new, freed Pacifica together. Thank you for listening to us, and we look forward to your action.
You've just listened to the report from the Diversity Committee of the Pacifica Now Conference here at Wheeler Auditorium and the Interim Pacific National Board meeting at the UC Berkeley campus.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody, too. I'm sure there were many more people involved in the discussions that led to this document, many more than could have stood up at the mic today. So we do want to thank everybody who put their time and effort and energy into this, and also thank everybody for being very disciplined at the mic. So what we need to do now is turn this over, I think, David and then Jabari.
David,
first of all, I'm really impressed by this document, and I really am pleased by the work that was done by the people to prepare it. And I think that the proposals are extraordinarily sound in many respects. Like I said, I'd rewrite a bus transfer, I'd rewrite anything, so I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, and as a white middle class male pseudo intellectual dude with only hidden disabilities, I wonder why. I think I can sense why to a degree, because I recognize that race and issues relating to national origin or perceived cultural differences are essential to the fracture of our culture and our perceptions. But I note that frequently my notes here say, well, where's sex and disabilities and so forth play into this? And I was a little curious about that. But having said that, I esteem this document highly, and I agree that we should adopt this or something very close to it.
Well, let me just actually, just on a technical level, this is a proposal that's being brought to us by a group that met. For us to actually act on this, somebody on the board needs to present this as a resolution.
I just meant that the sense of it, we shouldn't leave without having done something similar.
So you're proposing this as a resolution?
Not yet.
Okay, Jabari.
This is Jabari Zakia.
From Washington, D.C.
I think the two basic ways that I see we can manifest some of these proposals, there's the sort of on-air network component where we do programming to address these issues. There's the personnel area that we're going to talk about anyway, and I think we should set up an orientation program for all people entering Pacifica and all people who are in Pacifica already, including the board. But there's also this component that comes out of this that I was listening to that kind of goes into some of the things, you know, Rob and I have been talking about, the foundation. This kind of work should really be a part of the foundation's non-on-air component to create these kinds of forums to directly address these issues throughout the country and even the world, where we can tie in other good groups, other organizations that are like-minded, and hold these things, because the foundation, if we are going to do the full visionary things that were articulated, and if we're going to really foster these nice little slogans, peace, world, discussions among people of different races to diminish conflict, da-da-da-da-da-da, if we're going to really do that, then we really need to do that in off-air forums, such as holding these conferences, where we could broadcast them over the net and or over the air and or produce documents about these things, where you bring in different specialists around the country, around the world, and to talk about these things. That's a component that we have really never even thought about and never even done as a foundation that's directly a part of the mission statement. So I think these are the kinds of things that come out of my mind when I hear these kinds of things and stuff that we really need to begin to look at how we can structure within all our resource allocations and human allocations.
Carol and then Devin.
Carol Spooner.
One of the things I was struck with listening to the presentation was the depth of resources we have in our community that we're not utilizing. We feel overstressed. I feel overstressed. Let me speak for me. I feel overstressed. People ask for a lot, and why don't you do this, and why don't you do that, and why haven't you done it yet? And what I see is the profound work that you just did this week, and my response to it is that we need to let you inside the station running the programs. Instead of, you know, we have overstressed staff. We don't have necessarily people who are able to do these things right now. And there also, as I listened to people around the country and talked to people last night, and, you know, I mean, I've been at this job for a while, 6 months now. I'm hearing repeatedly that the people who brought us this great victory now feel locked out. I hear that repeatedly. And I hear how much you have to offer us. I feel that your wisdom is far greater than mine on this issue. So that's just my comment. Thank you very much. Not only on the racial issue, but I think on just about every other issue facing this foundation right now, financial issues, programming issues, bookkeeping and staffing issues. I think almost everything that we need to do, that we feel under-resourced and stressed to do, that the people in our community, if we opened our doors and maybe had somebody to coordinate it, the people in our community would actually do it for us, and we don't need $10 million to do it.
Well, Jabari, once again, we disagree because this is something
Janice
that
Bryant,
some of
New
us
York.
Have talked about and have thought about this, the race and nationality issue. You were saying that this is something the board hadn't been dealing with. And it is something, especially in New York, that we have really been head up about. And I'm really glad to hear what happened today. Someone just sent me a note, and for the listening audience, yes, it's true. This was done by a group of largely elderly white folks. And they wanted to talk about the irony of it. I know for a fact some of the people on this group, they realize the irony of it. But I also want them to know that I've been around many, many elderly white folks who don't agree with them. And that's why we need what they're saying. And I'm really glad that they've put this forward. In fact, we have an organization back in New York called the Community for Progressive Radio. And some of the people who are writing the most eloquent views on race happen to be elderly white folks. So I'm really hoping that that we'll take this under consideration, and that we can come up with something that's not just a policy, but something that'll have teeth in it, that'll move forward what we want to do while we're, you know, just and set the groundwork for a board that's going to really stand for the people that we say we're standing for, that voice for the voiceless. And I'm really glad about the work you guys did. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Janet, I think the difference is that those elderly white folks are progressive people. And that's what they brought, that's their contribution. By the way, I too am very impressed by the level of thinking that went beyond.
This is Ray LaForest from New York.
Clearly reflecting tremendous experience, real experience. I'm just concerned with number 8, implementation and evaluation. Even though it begins by stating that this is subject to union agreement, I'm concerned that in implementation that the mechanism available to union functioning are respected. So I like to look at this very carefully and when we're actually executing it.
If I could just say something.
Thank you.
I also am very thrilled, actually, by this work that you all have done. And, you know, I want to echo what Janice said, what Carol said, and other people, too, that this is a reminder of, you know, just how much depth there is within the Pacifica community, and of course the potential to bring in other people who aren't yet involved with this stuff, you know, makes that even greater, how much depth there is. I agree with and like all of these recommendations. I think there are some things that we can't answer at this point, because there are some things here that speak to staffing, and obviously that has to be figured out in the whole budget process. But again, as Carol points out, not every function needs to be done by someone who's paid. right? There are a lot of people who would step up to plate in an unpaid way to do this. But also I am concerned that we, this is a balancing act that we are confronted with. On the one hand, this national board, the interim board, needs to be setting some direction for things, but we also need to be in a process with each of the five stations about how to work out these things. That, you know, I don't think in the long term it serves us well to just say to each station, do this, do that, right? We need to have a conversation and a back and forth with them based on a policy direction, based on a sense of, you know, where we want to move the whole foundation. And I think we're going to, in that give and take with each of the stations, as well as with the national staff and the archive staff and, you know, all the component parts, I think maybe we'll get even sharper proposals, you know, how to actually implement some of these things. But in general, you know, I do agree that that we need to move in this direction, and I want to call special attention to figuring out and working with each station how to do programming that addresses these issues, not merely about our discussions inside this network, but around the bigger issues out there in the world, to really have programming that explores in an in-depth way and allows those different voices to be heard and, you know, to come to the fore on our stations. So I just want to add my voice of applause and congratulations to all of you who did this work, and thank you for giving us this.
And before I get beat up when I get back home or when I leave this this podium, there were many black folks who were involved in this. So I'm not saying that the white folks came along and swept us and saved us. Please do not misunderstand me. Okay? I'm sure, like, Don Foster has been very instrumental in this. And I've been seeing Don for the last year, and he's really been working hard to reclaim the new Pacifica. So, stop it.
I'll get back to you, folks, but you need to give us a little time to try and have a discussion.
The concern that I have is that we as a board will do with this as we do with almost everything else we deal with. You know, we give people the sense that we understand and support what it is that they are attempting to do, and then we go right back to doing things in the same old way. So I'm just speaking as one board member who will be hopefully very soon not a board member. But I think that it is commendable what this group did today in coming before us and presenting. And I will say to you, Janice, I did have initially a little concern about, you know, what are all these white people here talking about, you know, the issue. But I understand it now. I understand. But I do feel that one of the things that we need to look at our process as a board and how we look at issues, and we give all sorts of, you know, great and say how wonderful they are, and then go back to doing things in the same old way. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin, it's
good. Jabari and I represent
Rob Robinson
from Washington, D.C. It's a community which
Excuse
is...
Excuse me.
We're from WPFW. Bert and James and Marion are also there as well. I want to say we have a little bit of a different perspective. At the last meeting that we had in L.A., many of the same people that were here today talking about diversity were jumping up and down and screaming that we had to move the headquarters without a debate from Washington, D.C. back to Berkeley. And one of the things that got everybody very excited was that Washington, D.C. is a cesspool. I think it's admirable, and we should definitely all work towards diversity, but I think we have to confront some of the hypocrisies that we have within this organization. We are not reconciled to ourselves. When you talk like that in one meeting, and then in the other meeting you come and say how committed you are to diversity, I say you have to check yourself. We talk about diversity. We have these meetings in places, time after time, that are not accessible to the broadest segment of the community. We do not conduct these meetings in terms of civility and respect and conduct of the meetings that make people from different backgrounds, elderly or youth, comfortable with what we do. If this is what you care about, you must show respect for people. We live and work in a community by choice where people worship and live and play together. And that's one of the things that people in Washington, D.C., and certainly New York want to see happen. This organization has to open itself within its family, within the Pacifica family, and overcome some of the problems that we all have. In our retreat, one of the things that David Furtick said is that everybody is raised in an environment of prejudice. But you can't unlearn prejudice. You can't untrain yourself about it. You have to live it. So let's look at ourselves. Let's do a better job at Pacifica of being inclusive rather than exclusive. This meeting, the meeting in L.A., tells us that we're not reaching in these meetings, in these forums, the broadest community that we could. That comes about through the programming. So I would just urge everybody that wants to lecture us about diversity that we have a long way to go ourselves in this organization. If you really believe that, if you really want to live it, then get over some of the parochialism that we've all been struggling with.
Okay. James?
Yeah.
James first.
I just want to commend the members of the committee that took their time to volunteer to discuss issues of diversity. And I also am respectful of the fact that here, especially here in the Bay Area where I'm from, what you saw on that line is actually representative of the Bay Area. There are a lot of white folks here. There are people of color, but the numbers, especially for African Americans, aren't that high, especially in this listening area. So I'm respectful of that. But I kind of touch on a couple of things. What Rob said is true to an extent. Washington, D.C., which is actually the area that I represent, is two-thirds African American. And so when we take the same document and present it to them, we might have a little bit of a different twist. And I actually would like to do that. I would like to get a feel for what our listening area feels about the language in this document. I suspect that there will be a lot of similarities in terms of thinking, but there will be changes. And so I think that we as a board need to take this document and use it as a working document to issue to folks within our various listening areas to get a better feel, and at some point report this back to, I guess, you as a body or to the listening area with the modifications, and then let us make a motion to move on either individual pieces or the whole piece.
Pete Ramson from Berkeley. Obviously, there was wonderful work that was done to commit this to paper, to organize it, to present it. I think the board has listened. I want to go back to a comment that Bert made, which is, what are we going to do with it? And if we accept it or do nothing or accept it and move forward with it. And I want to know from the sense of the board, which is, what are we going to do with the document? It has been read to us. I think we've received it with open hearts and minds. But I like the last line of the document, which is to come back in September and to be, this is my term, to be judged against these qualities. I'd like to have that as an action item, and I'd like to know from the sense of the board, how do we do that?
Is that a proposal?
I'm asking for feedback from my peers on the board. What is our best collective next step to work with this document? What do we want to do?
Jabari and then David.
Jabari Zakiya from Washington, D.C.
This is Jabari Zakiya. My sense, my immediate sense, my short-term sense, that some of the things we can do are synthesize this into some of the some of the discussion that we will have with the personnel issue coming up next, the personnel committee, that will address the issues of how we select personnel criteria for evaluation to codify these elements into those kind of documents, those kind of policies and procedures and guidelines. And that's one way we can tangibly deal with many of these things. On a higher philosophical note, to get to what some of the things Rob has dealt with, there is, and also James, there is a obvious level of disconnect between rhetoric and reality within Pacifica. Many people see that speaking the rhetoric is where they need to end with being progressive. And how things play out in D.C., where you have a majority African population within the city proper but not within the metropolitan area, because there are tensions there between the resident African population and then the growing Latino population that is vying for their own sense of power and identity. And all of these things need to be brought out. But I think one of the key things that Pacifica faces is that many people of color don't listen to Pacifica. Many people of color don't see or have never heard of Pacifica and don't have any idea of how Pacifica can be used to help them. So while we are sitting here in Berkeley, and while we had a meeting in L.A. in the school, which was good, because I don't know L.A., but I assume that school is within the population, at least one segment of the population base in L.A., we just need to, when we do as many of the things as we try to do, be cognizant of how all of these elements play out when we make decisions on how we locate our meetings, how we bring in facilitators, mediators, all of these things. And it's not a one-shot deal, but it requires constant, holistic thinking and not just doing what you would naturally do because that's what you feel comfortable with. We have to move from a point where we just feel comfortable with dealing with people and how we, our natural tendencies to deal with people and things, to a point where we can feel uncomfortable and allow other people to come into this mix. So I would say as we go into the personnel area within our own discussions, that's one tangible place I think we need to put many of these ideas at work.
Okay. I have David, Carol, Teresa, but I also got a note that the committee has a recommendation for us on how to move forward. So can we just hear that?
Sure.
And then, okay.
How many people are speaking?
Just Rob and Ellen.
Okay. In the briefest of terms, we have a couple of suggestions with respect to this. But the heart of this document is the call for profound dialogue throughout the network on these issues. And so from that standpoint, our primary recommendation is that what the board does is to immediately facilitate dialogue around this document. In other words, that we send it out to all the stations, that we form local working groups to deal with the questions, that we draw in people of color from, you know, throughout the network and white people and everybody else to deal with these questions, draw in staff, draw in programmers, draw in whoever we may have that has concern with these issues, the unions, everybody, form committees, begin the discussion process, get feedback, funnel it back up, and you know, revise the policy, bring it back to the people. That's the obvious step. The other thing is that I'm sure that there are numbers of us on this committee that would help in facilitating anything that you want to carry out and would be glad to be part of a process of making that happen, as Carol suggested.
Okay, great. So let me go back to David and then Carol and Teresa.
Yeah, I think dialogue is vital. I think, and I've already cited David Adelson's comment that we have to go where we're not comfortable. We need to do that on all levels. And one of the things that, and the board has been talking about this, I think one-on-one and in small groups, and not just this weekend, but for months. How do you, you know, talking about diversity is one thing. How do you implement it? I agree that dialogue is one mode of implementation, and I also believe that outreach and giving people the tools of communication so they can empower themselves is another means of doing it. But then people select to whom they give those tools, and that's an issue that we need to discuss. But I would see that this document might be a that we adopt this document as a guideline, that it be sent to the local advisory boards, that in conjunction with the station, the listeners and local advisory boards, that meetings be convened in every signal area, and that a report be compiled by the local advisory boards to come back in September.
I would second the motion with an amendment.
Okay.
I can't do that parliamentary, but anyway, that's what I'm doing. What I would like to suggest, Dave, is to adopt the recommendation of the committee that the document, we send the document back to all five station areas for a deep dialogue. And what I would propose as a method of doing that would be somebody from the committee from all five station areas, and there may be no one from WPFW, but Rob and Jabari and James, and I know there's some people in the audience might be willing to help with that. Somebody from each of the five station areas detail themselves, or as many as you want to work with a lab committee there, so that it's in part of the internal structure of Pacifica, and work with a person at the station whom the station manager would recommend. In the manner appropriate to each station area, to really have a deep review and comment and discussion and dialogue about how this could work best at each station. The KPFA signal area does have a diversity committee, which incidentally received a $5,000 grant to get some help in our diversity issues around this area. So we're already, and I know some of them were part of this committee, so that may fit together. But that's the motion, is that people from this committee connect with the labs in all five stations and bird dog us through this.
Well, if I might then, as the maker of the motion, if I could recharacterize the motion, hopefully incorporating your proposal, perhaps not as articulately, but that this report be adopted as guideline, that it be sent to the signal areas, that the local advisory board, in conjunction with the station and the listeners and members of this conference working group, meet, conduct workshops, and undertake to implement or make determinations on how to implement these proposals, and then report back in September.
Okay, that's what the proposal is, right? That's what we're discussing. So I have Teresa, George, and Ray. Now, let me just say something before we... The folks that are standing at the mic, I don't think we're going to get a chance to get back to you again, because we're running later and later.
Can I make one...
It's important that we keep this moving.
Can I make one clarification? Very short. And that is, first of all, I wasn't at San Francisco, Los Angeles, when these things happened, so I'm not quite sure what the reference is to that. But I wanted to make sure that you understand that this is a process that is pretty much going on in many different communities of color. And it is a process that's very clear that is going on in terms of what we need to do in those particular communities of color, in terms of our own struggles to fight with changing those kinds of rules in City Hall and within our own organizations and within our own communities. So it's not foreign in terms of understanding that it is a process that's very much integrated. And I'd like to say that it's one thing to send it back to your local stations, but you're going to need to mandate a response from those stations in terms of what their process is about solving these problems and what those solutions are, and act on them as they come back to you in a real way.
Exactly. So I think add that into the proposal, that we mandate a response. Okay, I have Teresa, then George, then Pete, and Ray.
This is Teresa. I agree with Steve about the mandate, and I'm wondering if perhaps at the next national board meeting that perhaps... I think that on every level, people should take responsibility for this. That our executive director needs to do something about this. Our national staff,
yes,
whether it's the editorials that we're talking about, we need to see something tangible from each group, from the national board, from the local advisory boards, from the listener sponsors. And I would like to see someone come forward, maybe James be willing to take reports from each of these levels. And I note, I just have to go back to the report from WPFW. The actual events, some people say, we have an outreach person, we have an outreach committee, but when the report came from your station manager, and I just listened to the very rich events that to them was outreach. I mean, it was just wonderful. I'm thinking that one person might give a report that's very, very small, but others in their report might give you some really interesting, tangible feedback or reports. So I don't know whether Steve would like to work with you or somebody. I think it would be neat if we got, had people giving information, reporting on what was actually done.
James, do you want to...
What am I getting into?
Can we hold on that for just one second?
Yeah.
We have George, Pete, and Ray, and it's 4 minutes to 11.
George Barnstone from Houston is next.
I just don't want to hear.
And then Pete Bramson, and then Ray LaForest.
A lot of stuff that you guys didn't talk about bylaws enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got George. George, you're on.
George Barnstone, Houston, Texas.
I understand that.
I'm George Barnes.
Sorry, I've called on George.
George Houston. All of us, of course, absolutely agree with the splendid work you've done. I'm just concerned about, y'all said something about, the network paying paying for child care and paying for things while people can come to these meetings. Maybe I don't remember it correctly, but I mean we're in really deep financial crisis, and I think that the idea that we discuss this and this is our goal is right, but the idea that we implement every single this proposition right now, I think, is unrealistic. But this is our goal.
Okay, we have Pete and Ray. Okay, Ray.
Yeah, I do agree that this is indeed a vital issue. And my proposition is that we set up a committee from off the board, similar to the Bylaws Resolution Committee, that would work with every single lab, and certainly the individuals who have contributed and signed this, contributed to this statement, and any local organizations, and that we function that way. So therefore, if we do have a committee, the committee would have a chair, which would be, I'm assuming, the person that would coordinate the work, and that the board would remain directly involved with that. I don't know if there's any feeling on this body for this, but I would think that would be a way for us to directly be connected to the process.
Okay, David, do you want to try and summarize where we are with this proposal?
Well, yeah, I would propose this as a motion, and I hope that it encompasses a lot of the concerns and ideas, that we adopt this report as a guideline, that we mandate the executive director, station general managers, local advisory boards, to meet with themselves, members of this conference, and the listeners on and off the air, convening community meetings to develop plans to implement these goals and to implement them, and to report to the board on the progress, and then in September to provide further reports on the progress.
Might I just have one other amendment to that, and that is we designate a small committee of this board to kind of give some, to shepherd this whole process, and to set some timelines and, when we can expect reports back, et cetera. Just like a three-person committee to kind of shepherd.
But you have to name the committee, Leslie. Not the members, but the name of it.
The name of the committee is the Shepherding Committee.
The Race and Diversity Committee?
Okay, so I want to just...
The Race and Diversity Committee?
Yes.
Very good.
Okay.
That's my motion.
That. Okay. So, can we...
Is there a second?
Take a vote on...
Second.
Second from Bert. Okay, can we move right to the vote?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all in favor?